Amen. Have we got a skipping rope? Actually, I'm up here because of a skipping rope. Not really, Louise. Louise done her leg in yesterday. Thought she was 16 again. Went skipping. Praise God, it was a great day yesterday. Amen. Just one of the, when we were packing up, I don't know who said it, but someone said, the community see this because we could have given up. I was driving in and it was lashing rain. I was listening to the radio and the forecast wasn't great. And I was thinking, just in the back of my head, I think this might be knocked on the head, this one. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of stuff, a lot of food and all that kind of stuff, and it might be just all gone to waste and all that kind of stuff. And then we got in here, and just swinging in here, and I was expecting everybody to be in here, and everyone scratching their head, what would we do? And the guy thing is, when I got in here, everyone was over there. I said, we're not stopping, we're going. But we're going to do this, because, as I say, the community see that, you know? They see that we're willing to do anything. That, you know, things aren't going to stop us from outreaching and helping out and being there for the people. So it was a great testimony in itself, amen? So praise God, praise God. You're very welcome to Liberty Community Church. Who's here? Anyone here for the first time? No, I see Barbara there. Barbara, how you doing? You're very welcome. It's more sister Barbara. So you're very welcome, Barbara. You know, God is good. I want to share a message this morning, you know, about breakthrough. But also about, I think, you know, the message that I want to share with you is, like, it's breakthrough through our suffering. And, like, everybody's about to turn on their heels now and go, you know what I mean? But there is a point that I'm trying to get across that has been on my mind for a long, long time, actually since I became a Christian, because at times we tend to, as human beings, and it's a very natural expression, you know what I mean? It's a very natural thing to do, is to blame God for things. You know, many times I've been ministering to people, many times I've been outreaching and all, and just trying to, you know, speak about God to people. Just in general, a lot of the times you get people that go very defensive and say, hold on, don't talk to me about God. Why did God let this happen? Why did this happen in my life? Why did I go through this? Why did that happen to my family? Why did that happen to my parents? Why did that happen? And it's a natural reaction. And there's nothing, I don't think there's nothing inherently wrong with that as a human being making them statements, because we're making the statements out of a point of view that we don't really comprehend God, that we don't really understand, you know, why things happen, and the natural thing to do is to blame the Lord or to blame God. And in that then, we don't consider God. And I think that's the dangerous thing about it, that we walk away from God because we haven't, or we're stuck in a moment, we're stuck in a position of understanding that God has caused all this. And I want to try and get that breakthrough this morning, that if I can, that there is a breakthrough in suffering. There is. And God can turn it around. I really believe that. I've had a lot of suffering in my life. But God has been there. And God has turned every situation around. You know, He brings it. He gets the glory if you can understand that. He gets the glory. And I know that kind of be hard hitting, but if we can win the scripture and if you can hear my heart on this, stay with me. Is that okay? So we're on John chapter 9. I think we have it up on the screen. So if you can turn with your Bible to John chapter 9. And we're going to start at the very top of the chapter. And it says, talking about Jesus, it says, as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work while I am in the world. I am the light of the world. Having said this, Jesus spit on the ground and made mud, some mud from with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, and wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was, others said no, He looks like him, but he insisted himself, I am the man. I mean, just put your finger on that there. So straight away, we're coming into a scenario where the disciples to come in contact with this blind man, this blind beggar. And in the time of Christ, there would have been a lot of people that were blind and born blind, because a lot of it is caused through a vitamin deficiency or a poor dietary system in their lives. And because of childbearing and all that kind of stuff, a lot of blindness can come through all that kind of stuff. And so it would be in a very much a natural thing as well as a spiritual thing. And so the Bible says in Leviticus that the sins of the father will be passed on down to the third and fourth generation. And so the disciples turned around and said to this man, whose fault is it that this man is blind? Is it his parents? And in some ways, spiritually, upbringing and the result of sin in our past or in our family life can cause the blindness to come into your life, because you're following the ways of your father or you're following the ways of your family. And that can bring a blindness into our lives, and it can bring a blockage between us and God. And that can be a very natural thing. But also there is the natural blindness that is not caused by nobody other than what happened in the man's body, or what happened to him when he was a child, or what happened to him when he was in his mother's womb. And so they put the question to Jesus, whose fault is it? But Jesus turned around and said an amazing thing. He said, it's nobody's fault, but I tell you what, God's going to get the glory here. And so God was using, and I hope he's trying to get this morning, but God was using this man's misery to bring glory to himself. And that's a very difficult thing to grasp. The blindness was caused by a natural phenomenon, but Jesus was going to get the glory. And in our lives, before we come to God, there is many things that happen to us that we just don't understand. There are many things that are caused in our lives through all sorts of scenarios, all sorts of systems. There's many things that happen to us that isn't our fault. There's many things that are, I get a little bit deep here, but there's many things that have been done to us that wasn't their fault. There's many things that have happened that we could have done nothing about. There's things that happened that we could have done something about. And there's things that happen that are our fault. And we are the guilty party in it. But if we're trying to reason it out, and if we're trying to get to a space where, why did this happen? Sometimes, guys, and I this is really difficult to handle, but sometimes God is going to get the glory of it. And God is going to use it to get glory. And I believe, anyway, in my own personal life, that when we understand that, there is a great letting go of your past. There is a great healing in it when you can just put a line on the sand and say, okay, it's over. And God has set me free. And God is delivering me. When I was young, and I'm going to say a couple of mad things here, but when I was young and I got myself into trouble, and I don't want all the focus to be on me, but I need to emphasize the point that a lot of things happened to me when I was a child. As I say, my mother died when I was 5, and I had a very poor education. Because of the trauma of my mother dying, I developed OCD, which is an obsessive compulsive disorder. I had stuff going on in my life that was mad. You know, with my own father, he kind of collapsed in on himself. He didn't know what to do. He was left with 4 kids. He didn't know what to do, and so on and so forth. And so all through that whole thing, I was continually looking at myself. And the only way I felt that I could block out the pain was through drugs. And drugs came on scene, and I ended up taking drugs, and I ended up doing this, and I ended up doing that to get drugs. And life went seriously, rapidly downhill. And if you look at the whole situation, now I don't know all your stories. I don't know what's going on in your lives. I don't know where you're at this moment in time. But if you were that young man, as I was, looking at that, I could wholeheartedly just give up and blame God and everything. Just say, look, my life is in bits, and it's all your fault. This has happened because of you. this happened because you let this happen and you let that happen and you let this happen. And so you can get yourself into a knot thinking that everything that's happened in my life is because of God. If there is a God, well then, He has made this happen to me. And so it can be a very, very difficult thing to understand where God is going to get glory in this. I, from my own personal understanding, I couldn't see this, especially when I came into contact with Christians at first. Because this is the thing where you shake your fist up at heaven, don't you? And you say, look, the more I think about this, the more I hate God. And the more people talk about God as being real, then I'm thinking, Shane, Mac, if He was real, then why didn't He stop all this? And we can get ourselves into a not thinking that God is at fault. But let's keep on moving down through Scripture. Let's keep on moving down through Scripture. So Jesus says, it's nobody's fault, but God is going to get the glory. And He says to the man, He says, he told all His disciples what's going to happen, and then He said, He done a very unusual thing, which was that He spat on the ground, He made a mud out of His own saliva, right, or spit, and He put the mud and the saliva on the blind man, and then He said to him, now go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And so there's a very significant thing happening there, that whatever way Jesus heals us and sets us free, it's going to be strange in some places. I know in my own life it was completely weird. It's going to have a convoluted essence to it. It's not straightforward. It's a very personal thing. He never done this again. This was belonging to the blind man. This was his healing. This was his journey. This was what set him free. And He put this spit and mud on his eyes. And I'm sure he's looking at this, or I'm sure he's understanding this thing. This is weird. What's this guy doing? And then He says an even crazier thing. He says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And where he was to where Siloam was a convoluted journey where he would have had to get the help of somebody to take him by the arms and bring him down certain steps and up steps and around corners till he gets to the pool of Siloam. So it was a journey to get to. But you know what, guys? He had to get there. If I believe this wholeheartedly, if he would have said to Jesus, I'm not going to the pool of Siloam, he wouldn't have got his healing. He had to go there. And he had to engage other people to get him there. And so the journey was a strange and weird journey. Just like my journey. Just like me, just like your journey, just like me sitting there in a treatment house thinking, how can God set me free? He had men come into my home. And was the weirdest thing ever, a man laying hands on me. I don't know if that's, it's probably not weird to a lot of people here in the context of being in Christians for years. But for me it was, all of a sudden this big hand coming, can I pray with you? I'm thinking, can you pray with me? I'm going out that window if you're praying with me. And first meeting I was in, all of a sudden I was trying to get out of the meeting and people were holding me back and there was people jumping and screaming and dancing and shouting and howling. I kid you not. There was people lying all over the ground and I was stepping over them and crying, get me out of here, this is a mad place. This is the mud and the spit, you see. It was weird out and strange and very, very strange. If I'm honest with you, and then people are singing in tongues, I'm thinking, I'm in the nut house. I'm in this. This is a nut house. This is. Hold on, I'm trying to get off heroin here. What are you doing to me? You're making it worse. You're making me. I have one problem now. I have two problems. And there was people lying on the floor, and there was people coming over and praying with me. And I'm saying, if you pray me, can I go? And they were laying hands on me and shouting at me in tongues, and I'm saying, Dad, please, just point me, Dad, to come and take me away. But it was the mud and the spit. Are you with me? It was the mud and the spit. And then Jesus says to me, go over to the UK. Over to the UK. I was never outside my house and staying all my life. He says, go over to the UK and you're going to spend 16 months over in a treatment house over in the UK. Over to the pool of Shiloh. Do you hear what I'm saying? Over to the pool of Shiloh. And sometimes our journey is a convoluted journey. Please hear me on this. It's a strange journey that we all have to go on and we all have to get to our destiny. And after a while, when I was hearing this, and I was listening to people preaching, and I was listening to sermons, and I was listening to things about God, and God always kind of, where I was at the time, God was always promo. God was always, God is good, God is love, God is thing. I said, then I'm saying, God wasn't very good in my childhood. God wasn't very great in where I was. God wasn't very great to this. And you see, this is the war that we're at with. This is where we are as human beings. And God is not very, in a lot of people's lives, the greatest thing that ever happened. God is not always the God's good. And we can have a natural reaction to our hurt and our pain, which is, let's shake our fist at God. But when I started to grow in these things, God, and when I got to the pool of Shiloh and the mud was wiped off my eyes, I could see for the first time. Now, guys, this was a massive breakthrough for me, and I'm sharing this story this morning for you to get the breakthrough. Now, I realized very quickly, 100% that God loved me and I have a part in God. Because I never thought I had a part in God. Because I thought God done all this to me. And we can't be like that, can't we? That God is doing this to me because I'm a bad person. I come from a bad area. I come from a bad family. I come from bad this and bad this and bad that. And God is doing this to punish us. And we can blame God in all the certain things. And I never thought I had a part playing God. Never thought I had. Every time I went to Mass, I was guilted out of the place. And there, I was like Stephen, as soon as communion was over, gone. Couldn't talk to a priest, couldn't talk to my teachers, couldn't talk to the priest in school. I talk about God, why would I talk about God? God hate me. I'm a sinner, I'm wretched, I'm you don't know my life is wrong. And we were disenfranchised from God. We had no part to play. I had no part. There was nothing God for me. And that's exactly where we find ourselves. Like the blind beggar. She's hand out. Help me, help me, help me. Gimme, 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 gimme. And all of a sudden, Jesus came along. And he reached out, guys. All of a sudden, Jesus came along in my life. And he reached out and he said, look, I'm prepared. You do have a place in me. I love you. I have set you free. I've always loved you. Bang. I've always loved you. You've always loved me through all the stuff that I've done. Through all the pain that I've caused people, through all the things that are my fault, you've always loved me. Yeah. And I will always love you. And all of a sudden, I started to grab onto a thing where I have a part in God. I'm not running from God anymore. I'm not afraid of God anymore. I can go to God and talk. I can't have this spiritual journey that everybody else can have. I thought I couldn't have. Now all of a sudden, I can't have it. Even in my weakness. Even in my pain, even in my suffering, I have a part playing God. And that's what they said to the blind man. And they turned around and people wouldn't believe him. He said, hold on, is this the man? Is this the guy that got hit? No, some are saying no, others are saying he is. And the blind man was going, it is me. It was me, I was blind. I have a part in God. He set me free. Everybody. He set me free. And they're all going, no, hold on a minute, I don't think it is him. He's going, it is me, I'm telling you, it's me. And we're like that sometimes. When God sets us free, we go around and we're trying to get everyone to convince us that God set us free. When we should be going, hold on, he has set me free. He has, so you have a part to play in God. God is interested in me. God wants me. He touched me, he set me free. He told me, he kept on saying his testimony over and over again. He put mud on my eyes. He told me to go under the pool of Shiloh. I've done everything and I never could see. And they were kept back, no, it's not you. Shut up, you. Sit back down here. Get your man down, he said, if you read this. And he had to bring his mother and father in. So said, I don't want to get in trouble and all that. This is his deal, so let him talk. And he kept on saying, but hold on for a minute. And we move on down to scripture. I'm not going there, but he moves on and says, one thing I do know. I don't know about this man, Jesus, really. But one thing I do know. I was blind. and now I see. Hallelujah. I was blind, and now I see. One thing I do know, that God touched me in my misery. And he turned it around. I'll finish with this. And I'm going to say something very mad and very controversial. Right? But I thank God for heroin. I thank God for heroin. Without heroin, I would have never have known him. Without him, without that, I would have never have known him. It's mad, isn't it? I thank God for my misery. I caused it. He didn't cause it. I did. But I thank God for it. Without my misery, I would have never have known him. A team of black stallion wild horses wouldn't have dragged me into a church without heroin. I'm telling you that now. You wouldn't have got me near this place without heroin. You wouldn't have got me even mildly interested in this without heroin. You wouldn't have got me talking to anybody about spiritual things, and in particular, a man coming into my home and putting his hands on me without heroin. God used my misery for his glory. He got the glory over. He got the glory out of it. He turned it on its head. He took my misery and turned it into his glory. The same as he's done for the blind man. Whose fault is this? Lord, it's nobody's fault. But watch this, God's going to get the glory. And I'm hoping that you can get into a space in your life when you can say that about your pain. And you know what happened to me when I was able to say that? I was able to draw a line in the sand and walk away. It had huge therapeutic values. It was massive that I was able to draw a line in the sand and say, God, that was me. You took it and you changed it and you used it for your glory. Now I'm going to walk away from it. Because that's not me anymore. The same way as the man, his society tried to put him back into being a blind man and a beggar again. He says, no. I was blind. I'm not anymore. And he walked and he followed Jesus. And he wasn't the blind man anymore. The same way as I'm not the addict anymore. The same way as you're not the manic depressive anymore. The same way as you're not the worrier anymore. The same way as you're not the person who the world's falling in on you every 5 minutes anymore. The same way as you're not the person who can't see a way out anymore. Because Jesus can turn it around. Don't blame him on it. In that sense, say, God, turn it around and get the glory. And then I will stand up here and I will share a testimony. And I don't care if my family don't believe me. I don't care if my community don't believe me. I don't care if my friends don't believe me. I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. I was blind, but now I see. And he gets the glory. Nobody else. He gets the glory. He gets the glory. He gets the glory. And Father, we worship you this morning. If the worship team want to come back, let's worship God here this morning. Let's give God the glory here this morning. Oh, you walk away, man. Let's all stand. Because God, let's draw a line in the sand. Let's draw a line. Are we ready to draw a line in the sand? Are we ready to say, look at God, that was, but behold, you have made all things new. That was me, but not anymore. I am therefore now a new creation. In who? In Christ Jesus. And all my suffering, as bad as it was, all my pain, as bad as it is, and all of that trials and stuff, Father, I can draw a line in the sand and I can say, you get the glory. Because you turned me around. And I no longer have to be bitter. I no longer have to go around and hating people. I can forgive those people. I can let them go out of my life. I can have joy in my life once more. I can have a sense of peace and well-being. I can get a good night's sleep. I can start to think about my future with a very positive outlook. I can let go and let God. And I can start to walk now in my new life, declaring out loud that Jesus is Lord. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once blind, but now I see. Praise you, Jesus. I was once blind, but now I see. Praise you, Jesus. I was once dead, but now I'm alive. Praise you, Jesus. I was once bitter, but now I'm free. Praise you, Jesus. I was once a depressed person, but now I'm alive, full of joy. Praise you, Jesus. I was once a person who worried, but now I give it to you. I was once a person who couldn't think about the future, but now my future is in you. I am free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I praise you, Jesus.